And when you are seeking the face of Christ as opposed to self, that is when security comes. That is when you're not measuring yourself with people around you. That is when you're not afraid of different circumstances. You see the Lord, you see you belong to him, and you're seeking the face of God, and fear begins to run away.
Hi, and welcome to Live in the Light. I'm your host, Craig Turnbull, and with me in our studios is our teacher, Pastor Robbie Simons. We've been walking through a series. In fact, today we close up a series entitled No Reason to Fear. And Robbie, today's fear we're looking at is very specific, and I think, honestly, one that many, many, many of us struggle with.
Yeah, Craig, exactly. The fear of the future. The fear of what we don't know, the fear for our security, the fear of the economy, the fear of just, again, all the things that could happen. It's amazing. Our world is held by this so tightly. And so God wants to release us from this, release us from ourselves, and release us from the world. He wants us to hold now fast to him. And that's one of the great purposes of this beautiful psalm. I just love the psalm so much because they just allow us to identify with such sincerity and authenticity to what the psalmist is saying. And Psalm 27, of course, is no exception. Loved ones, this series, we believe, is speaking to you. And so we want to hear from you if that's the case. Please know how much we appreciate knowing what God is doing, whether you write to us or call us, email us, whatever it might be, and you believe to support this ministry too. It just makes a huge difference in the things that we're trying to see done for the glory of God. So as we end this series today, if that's where you are at, would you take the time to let us know how God is encouraging you so we can be encouraged and continue to see this ministry on the station at this time? I'm excited, Craig. We're fighting fear. We're fighting fear with faith in the only one who counts, the Lord Jesus Christ.
All right, amen. If that's you and you would love to reach out and drop us a note of encouragement, we'd love to hear from you. You can visit our website at liveinthelight.ca, or you can phone us up at 1-844-22-LIGHT. That's 1-844-225-4448. We'd love to hear from you again, loved ones, and we would love to see God do an amazing work in your lives today as we battle fear through the power of the Word of God. Let's go down to today's passage and Pastor Robbie Simons.
Like when I really look at me, there's no good in me. And when crisis hits and things get tough, if I keep doing this, I'm like, oh, what's the point? Insecurity comes from looking at all the wrong things. Insecurity comes from seeing what we have to offer as opposed to putting the mirror down and then looking up in the face of God and seeking his face. And when you are seeking the face of Christ as opposed to self, that is when security comes. That is when you're not measuring yourself with people around you. That is when you're not afraid of different circumstances. You see the Lord, you see you belong to him, and you're seeking the face of God, and fear begins to run away. So many of us got to put down the mirror. As long as you gaze in this, I'm sorry, you're just not going to find any help. And that's why God says, seek my face in this text. God says, seek my face. Again, verse 8, your heart must say, as David did. See, it's all about the heart. Your face, Lord, do I seek. It's in the presence of God we find our greatest help. He cries, he seeks. Still under point one, this, he remembers. He remembers in prayer. Verse 9 says, hide not your face from me. Turn not your servant away in anger. Notice, O you who have been my help. Cast me not off, forsake me not. Notice, O God of my salvation. What's David doing here as he passionately pleads in prayer? Why does he do this? Because he remembers. What does he remember? He remembers that God has been his help and that God is his salvation. So in many ways, we understand David's plea of, please, Lord, cast me not off. Please, God, do not forsake me. Why do we understand that? Because David watched the life of Saul unfold before his very eyes. And David, or Saul, was anointed king. Saul at times was led and filled by God's Spirit. But then Saul's story didn't end so well, did it? And David saw this. The child of God here today, if you're genuinely in Christ, fear not, because we are children under the new covenant. And when you are saved in Christ, you are safe forever. You will never be cast out. Fear not, child of God, because we have these promises. We have these promises that we will never be left and we will never be forsaken. We have these promises that what God has begun in you, he will finish. He will finish. We have these promises that not one sheep of the good shepherd will ever go astray or will ever be snatched or will ever be lost. Fear not, loved one. This is what you must remember as you continue to seek the Lord in prayer, even within, especially within your most trying times and your greatest heartaches. You remember in prayer, and this is what David is doing. Here's an important lesson, though. As we begin the Christian life, we often have a picture of what God's faithfulness looks like. We have our own picture of what God's faithfulness looks like and what God's faithfulness should look like. This is an important principle of maturity as we go through. And as we begin the Christian life, we think God's picture of faithfulness, as the pieces of the puzzle come together in our lives, we think it should look like A, B, C. And so we expect God and his pieces of our puzzle to come together to see the end result of, again, A, B, C. But God never seems to work that way. He never seems to work according to our ideas or our plans. And God has a perfect picture of faithfulness, but often it comes together in the end of X, Y, Z. But see, our problem is we can't let go of A, B, C. And we say, where are you, God? How come you haven't done it my way, God? I don't understand what's happening, God. But here's what you're guaranteed as the children of God. At the end of your life, what's guaranteed is as the pieces of your puzzle come together, there will be an undeniable, perfect picture of God's faithfulness. But for some of us, it might take to get to heaven to fully appreciate it. But this is what faith does. Faith says, God knows, I do not. And then you're trusting that even if the pieces of the puzzle are the exact opposite of what you thought should happen in your life, you say, God knows best, I don't, I trust in him. And I remember his faithfulness. He cries, he seeks, he remembers in prayer, and finally he does this. This is powerful. He knows in prayer. Verse 10, he says this, for my father and my mother have forsaken me. Now, by the way, this is very unlikely that this actually happened to David, that his parents forsook him. Now, there's no evidence of that in scripture. I think he's using a demonstration by example. He says here, for my father and my mother have forsaken me. Then he ends this, but the Lord will take me in. Here's what David knows as he turns to prayer for help. He understands that even if his closest human relationship lets him down, the Lord will not. This is a word for some people here today as you seek help in the Lord in prayer. This is what you need to know. Many of us have been let down by parents. There's abuse in this room. There have been terrible unforgiveness. There has been tremendous hurt. There has been abandonment. Many of us have been let down by spouses. Many of us have maybe been let down by children or whatever. There's been a tremendous amount of hurt. The point that David is making is that you cannot look to the human relationships for your satisfaction and what you think must complete you. David says, even if my closest relationships in my life fail me, God will not. God will not fail me. Listen to this. It's impossible for God to fail you. Right now, some of you might be saying, no, I feel like he's failed me. He has not failed you. He hasn't. Some are like, well, man, where is he? How come he's not answering these prayers? Listen, he cannot fail you. It's impossible. And so you might think he has failed you, but he has not. And he will prove his faithfulness again as his pieces of your puzzle come together. And David knows this. And listen, he knows this. And this is why he prays to his God. So loved ones, listen to this. Our spiritual life will only be as strong as our prayer life, because prayer is dependence. And what does scripture say in Philippians 4? It says this, the Lord is at hand. Be not anxious for anything, but in everything with thanksgiving, or prayer and supplications with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. Do you hear that? The Lord is at hand. Because the Lord is at hand, do not be anxious in anything. I'm always trying to get out of the things like anything. right? The absolute, anything, but in everything with prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And verse 7, and the peace of God, which passes all understanding, will guard your heart and your mind in Christ Jesus. Awesome. Be anxious for nothing. Pray about everything with thanksgiving. And watch your heart and your mind be guarded in Christ Jesus. Loved ones, why don't we pray more? Why don't we pray more? Right? If I went down the up and down the rows right now and took surveys of how much time you pray every day, I know it would be really sad. I know. I look at my own life and my own heart, how much more I need to pray. I go through these texts, I'm like, what's wrong with me? I mean, what we say around heart prayer is the easiest thing to do, it's the hardest thing to do. Why? Because God's available any moment of every day for us to hear us and to call out to him. But because our flesh hates prayer so much and Satan hates prayer so much, he does whatever he can to take one away of our most powerful weapon spiritually before the Lord. Oh, loved ones, why don't we pray more? Here's this great sweet hymn that, what a friend we have in Jesus, all our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. Oh, this is such a great prayer. Oh, what peace we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pain we bear, all because we do not carry everything to God in prayer. I mean, it's so true. Isn't that sweet? Help us to pray to you, Lord, the only one who can help us. Point number two is this. You wanna face your future? You wanna face your future? I must be taught when I need guidance. I must be taught when I need guidance. Look at verse 11. Verse 11 says, teach me your way, O Lord, and lead me on a level path. Notice this. Because of my enemies. I find this very insightful. It's in the face of opposition and of great trial. David is now not seeking rescue, but in the face of great trial and opposition, now he's seeking to be taught by the Lord. And why does he want to be taught? Well, verse 11 tells us that God's truth might lead him on a level path. Have you ever found yourself on a road that was paved and then became gravel and then became dirt? And then you found yourself actually carving your own road through the bush. That happened to us in Israel. It's kind of scary. But then you see the real road again, and you're like, yes. And you get on the paved road again, and you're like, yes, right? That word level path here, that literally means smooth road without potholes or holes. And this is what God seeks to lead us on, a path, a road that we should be on. This is why David wants to be taught the Lord's way. Understand this. We talk about a smooth, level path. What does this mean? It means this. The ways of God are never wrong, okay? The ways of God are always right, always. You can never go wrong by taking God at his word. By the way, what is faith? Faith, most simply said, is taking God at his word. It's saying, God, you know I don't. I'm doing what you say. When we stray from God's word, it will always go bad. Always. And so David says here, Lord, in my crisis, I need to be taught your truth because I don't know where to go. See, those who stray away from God's word live within a perpetual maze. And when crisis hits, they panic. Where do I go? Bang into the wall. Where do I go? Bang into this wall. Where do I go? And they turn around in circles and they have no idea what's going on because that's what happens because you need to be taught the way of the Lord. How do you get taught on God's level path? His word, his truth. He's the one who guides us down the narrow road. Otherwise, we're left to our own. I'm sorry, no GPS system will help you. There's one. It's the word of God. And David knows this in the midst of his greatest trial. He says, teach me your way, O Lord. Consider how well an army would do without a battle plan. Terrible. They're marching towards certain defeat. Consider how well a Christian will do without God's plan. They're also marching towards certain defeat. That is, until they wake up and get God's plan, which is God's word. When your marriage is hurting, you need God's plan of guidance. You need to be taught the plan of God for marriage. You need instruction in passages like Ephesians 5 and 1 Peter 3. You need to be taught what God has for you in your marriage, and that is guaranteed to go well. When you're fighting loneliness, you need to know God's plan of love for you. You need to know that he is the one, again, who completes you. He is the one who is your ultimate satisfaction, not someone else. When you're stressed about money, you need to know God's plan of stewardship and provision over your life. Let's stop on money for a second, because money seems to affect the most of us in this time, because we are obsessed with money. So that's why I wanted, just for a second. So wasn't that long ago, Jill and I encountered some unexpected expenses, and some of them were fairly significant. 5 years ago, in this situation, I would have panicked. I've been like, oh no. But praise the Lord, it seems like God is growing us a little bit. So instead, this is what I do. You have unexpected things that are happening, I ask myself some questions. Am I giving generously to the work of the Lord? Am I spending wisely before the Lord? Am I seeking to kill idolatry in my life over materialism and finances? And if I can say yes, yes, and yes to those things, then I can step back and I can say, then relax, Robbie. God's got you covered. Now, let's just separate something here for a second. Often we're like, God, where are you? You're not paying my bills for me, but we've just gone out and spent a whole bunch of money on things we have no right doing and we can't afford. That's always gonna go bad. And some of us say, God, where are you? You're not helping me, but you're not giving a cent to the church. That's never good. God clearly instructs you to be generous with what you have because it's his money. So let's just make things simple because they are simple. It's never complicated. We make them complicated. Like, God, you've forsaken me. I'm not even taken care of. Well, you're not doing what he told you to do. And his plan's always right. So if you can answer, yes, I'm giving faithfully. Yes, I'm spending wisely. And yes, I'm seeking to kill idolatry in my life. Then it's so much fun to step back and say, I'm not worried about it. God will figure it out. That is such a good feeling. And you know what? God is faithful. And again, his piece of the puzzle might be a little different than we think, but his faithfulness will be proven when it's all said and done. Stop stressing about money. Put your trust and faith in your God. Do what is right and watch him. Watch his faithfulness extend to your life. When you're battling persecution in your family for your faith, you got to be taught in order to get faith. You got to be taught. The Bible talks so much about that, how the Lord understands and anyone, he says, who is leaving mother or father and all that kind of stuff, he says, man, they will receive 100-fold. They will be blessed in this life and the life to come. But you know what? It's sad how many Christians go the journey with a blindfold on. Simply why? Because they don't read the Bible. And therefore, they aren't taught. And therefore, they're lost and they're in a perpetual maze. Remember these awesome truths when it comes to the Word of God. Let's remind ourselves what God's Word is to us. Look at these. This is great. The Bible is like a seed that saves us. The Bible is like milk that nourishes us. The Bible is like meat that satisfies us. The Bible is like water that washes us. The Bible is like a fire that cleanses us. The Bible is like a hammer that shatters us. I love those kind of things. I need to be shattered, man. It's so good. The Bible is like a sword that cuts deeply into us. That's so good, by the way. The Bible is like medicine to keep us from the sickness of sin. The Bible is like a mirror to reflect ourselves to us. The Bible is like a lamp to our feet. The Bible is like a counselor that comforts us. The Bible is like a forecaster that never fails us. This just in, the Bible's important. Okay? This just in, read your Bible. This just in, you need to be taught when you're seeking to receive guidance from the Lord, especially when facing your future. There is no hope for a secure future and a strong future and a future filled with faith if you're not in the Word of God. David says, teach me your way, O Lord. In the midst of his enemies, he says, teach me your way, O Lord. I need it. Point number three now is this. You wanna face your future? Do this. I must believe when I need hope. I must believe when I need hope. Verse 13 says this, I believe that I shall look upon the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. So if that verse has yet to be underlined or highlighted in your Bible, you can take care of that right now. That's such a great verse. I believe that I shall look upon the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Now, the word that doesn't come through in the ESV translation is the word unless. You probably have a footnote if you have an ESV Bible there on this verse. You can see that there. But this is why the New American Standard translates it, I would have despaired unless I had believed. And the New King James translates it, I would have lost heart unless I had believed, it says. So what does this do? It only sets up more of the power of verse 13. The psalm that began so strong, that moved towards desperate prayers, has now returned to faith-filled confidence. Take courage from this, loved ones. We learn here from this verse that at times David wanted to faint. Can you relate to that? At times David thought he was done. Can you relate to that? At times, David thought his afflictions were so great that his heart would fail. Can you relate to that? And he would have failed, listen, unless he believed. Unless he believed. And this is the power of faith. Faith and belief is what bears the fruit of hope. He says, I believe that I will see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Goodness of the Lord in the land of the living, that's not eternal life. That's here and now. He knows, as bad as life seems to be for him, he knows he will see, listen, not himself, he will see the goodness of the Lord in the days to come, in the land of the living. And that's what faith does too, to say, my story's not over yet. And so what we have to do, listen, we have to start sowing seeds of faith. So get out your little pouch of faith seeds this week, and even today, and walk around your life and start scattering seeds of faith. Okay, do this. Scatter some seeds of faith upon your marriage. Scatter some seeds of faith upon your kids. Scatter some seeds of faith upon your future and your work. Scatter some seeds of faith upon your friends and coworkers. Scatter some seeds of faith upon those you're calling out God would save and rescue. Scatter some seeds of faith that you can see your giftedness be used for the. Scatter some seeds of faith that God has your back and everything else too. Go around and throw the seeds of faith, water them, and then come back and maybe you'll see a little sprout, and maybe you'll see a branch, maybe you'll see a trunk even, and then maybe sometime soon, you will see fruit, actually, the fruit of hope. You will pick, you will eat, and you will say, that tastes so good, because it does. And that's what the fruit of faith grows in our life. It grows hope, no matter how bad we might have it. David says, I believe I will see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. If you want hope, you have to believe. You have to believe. And if you're going to face your future, you must be filled with hope. Therefore, you must believe. Comes to facing my future, I must believe when I need hope. And let's end here. When it comes to facing my future, number four, I must wait when I need strength. I must wait when I need strength. Now, I gotta warn us, this is gonna be one of our toughest points. And the reason for that is because we live and we are instant gratification people. And we live in an instant gratification society. And as a whole, let's just be honest, we're very impatient. As a whole, we are very selfish. As a whole, we are very insistent on our way. And let's just be honest, we're very bad at waiting. So I took a survey of my life in the last 2 weeks. I was sitting at a stoplight. One author calls this the honko second. The light turned green and less than half a second, the car behind. You know, just like, dude, why are you rushing for half a second so you can go somewhere and sit down and wait for someone else? I mean, what are we rushing for? I was in a hotel, I was out in Calgary, and these teenagers were waiting to get in the elevator, and there's a lot of elderly people around, and elderly people were coming out of the elevator. These teenagers, man, they didn't even wait for the elderly people to step off the elevator before they, I wanted to take one of them by the neck and pin them against the wall and just be like, young man, please, what is the rush? Please, respect your elders. Any teenagers in the house today, please respect your elders. Please, our society's so bad in this way, right? This is a bit of a tangent to the sermon, but I saw an opportunity to exhort our young people. And just like you watch, they just bud right in front of us who are there in front, and they just storm through all these older people. I'm like, come on, right? Just what's the rush? Well, that's the kind of, it's our society's about me. It's about me, my way, my time. Just watch it. Watch it in traffic, watch it in lineups, watch it everywhere. It drives me crazy. Oh yeah, I remember I was in the airport too, and I was sitting in Starbucks in line. It was so clearly in line, and this lady comes up and just stands right in front of me. I mean, I said to Jill, and I said, why am I so angry inside right now? What are you doing? Like, where's your common courtesy, you know? And I sit about, and I say, well, if someone takes your hat, give them your cloak too, or whatever, right? If someone actually walk a mile, go the extra mile. I'm telling my flesh inside, he's like, what's wrong with you? I mean, common courtesy, I would never do something like that. Hey, you're in line, thanks. That's ridiculous. Hey, listen. So we're bad at stoplights, we're bad in line, but listen, as Christians, we're bad at waiting before Jesus Christ. We're just bad at it. This is where we're like, God, I want you to answer my prayer and answer it now. We do that to God. God, we think God's a vending machine. Punch in the things. Come on. What's wrong with you, God? Not on my plan? Now, that's kind of silly, but it's kind of true. I talk to a lot of people. I know my own heart. And we're like that with God. Loved ones, it's not about us. Can we remember that? We wait for strength upon the Lord. We must learn it's not about you and it's not about me, but we make it about ourselves. So many people like, God, how have you let me down? He hasn't let you down. I mean, that's the whole theological, that's improper theology. That is false teaching, that God has somehow forsaken you. He has not. And he will prove to that to you, but you must believe and you must, at this point, wait. You must wait for strength. You must wait for his timing, not yours. And David says so powerfully in verse 14, wait for the Lord. And a wonderful biblical verse, be strong and let your heart take courage. That's a word for someone here today. You need to wait for the Lord. And while you wait, he wants to give you strength. And he wants to give you courage. And it says twice, wait for the Lord. Why does it say it twice? Emphasis. It's that important. If we're going to face our future, we must be men and women who learn to wait upon the Lord. See, why is impatience so deadly? Impatience often leads to impulsive behavior, and this almost always turns out bad. Again, look at the life of Saul. Impatience, impulsive, my way, not David. That ended up in death for Saul. I was reading Genesis right now in my personal time. A great example of this is Abraham and Sarah. And Sarah's becoming impatient, understandably. She's 80-something years old. She wants a child. Abraham, go take Hagar. She'll give you a child. Bad plan. Impatience, impulsive. Now, the thing with Abraham and Sarah, they're both a negative example and a positive example, because it says with Abraham that he believed and it was counted to him as righteousness, and they would receive their son Isaac because they did wait even when they were like 99 years old. I think Sarah was 90. That's an amazing story. Our plan is always a bad plan. God's plan is always the right plan. Here's what you need to know. God is going to ask you to wait often. He's going to wait. He's going to ask you to wait for his timing. And why does he do that? Because God is not so much concerned with delivering us from our trials as much as he's more concerned about the state of our heart. Again, you will powerfully live in Christ if you understand that. If you can start, this is what Christian maturity grows into, to understand it's not about me. God wants my heart more than anything else. And so he knows at times when I'm stuck in the classroom learning the lesson of discipline or trial or difficulty, that is, I am growing more like Christ. That is number one, the will of God for my life. And God will do whatever it takes to get our heart where he wants it. And if you can see that, all the pressure gets removed from rescue me to God, you are faithful in the midst of it. In the midst of it. And then you can say, wait for the Lord, and you find strength and courage as you wait for the Lord. God does some of his greatest work in us while we wait, while we wait. I specifically remember when my life was starting, and hey, young people in university and stuff, man, I know, like, when you look at your future and you're like, what am I gonna do for a job? Like, am I gonna get married? All that. I mean, that can be a very scary time. I remember pleading with God over this exact verse up at camp. I remember I had no idea what was gonna happen in the future. Just saying, God, I'm scared. And this verse was such comfort to me. Wait. Strength, courage, wait. Wait. You're gonna face your future? David's been very helpful for us. Very helpful for us in this. Listen, face your future loved ones with faith and not with fear. Not with fear.
If you'd like to hear this message again or the rest of the messages from this series, you can find these resources and more on our website at liveinthelight.ca. I'm Craig Turnbull, and on behalf of Robbie Simons, we invite you to join us again next time on Live in the Light.